Welcome back to Southern Fried Fitness Radio with your host, Robin Shea.
Welcome back to the show, and I want to get right back into our conversation with Dr. Kirsch. Now, let's just recap for our listeners. You were giving the three different types of stress. Am I right in the previous segment?
Yes.
And you had just gotten through the first one, which was stress that you can actually do something about.
Well, you can do something about stress at any stage. The activating event you can change your environment so that it's no longer there. I mean, if you're abused at home, maybe it's time for a divorce. That's a little bit more radical change than getting out of line because you're afraid of an amusement park ride. But nevertheless,
right,
you might want to leave the environment.
For lack of a better word, I kind of refer to those type situations as you can pinpoint your stressor.
Yeah, your stress. That's exactly it. It's defining your stressors, and then possibly changing your environment. But you can also change your belief about the event.
Right.
So that you can rationalize with yourself. That's what psychologists do with cognitive behavioral therapy, talk therapy. Maybe this isn't as bad as you think it is. Getting up in front of people could be stressful, but usually a lot of people get up in front of people to talk, and then they find that they find their groove and they're comfortable. But I do know a lot of very, very famous speakers who get very stressed out for just waiting to get up there. But once they get on the podium or whatever, on the TV show, then they calm down. And
so you have your external that you can do something about, and then you have your internal dialogue,
right,
where perhaps takes a little bit more fortitude, but what a powerful, powerful tool to have personally to be able to manage your own dialogue.
You're in charge.
You're in charge,
yes.
Absolutely, regardless of the situation or the circumstances outside of yourself. When you have mastery over your own internal dialogue, that is a very, very powerful tool throughout your entire life.
That's right.
And then what would the third one be?
The third one is the consequences of your beliefs regarding the situation, and that's what we call stress. So at the end of the day, it's the thought that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn to control that level as well. You can learn to be calm and turn off stress. There are a lot of ways of doing this, things that you often talk about on your show, like eating well, exercise. But also, you need to learn to be a little bit more assertive. You're not a victim of your life. You're in charge. You organizing your time reduces your stress. And the thing that I like to talk about is loving yourself. Love your disease. I mean, we're all a collection of pathologies. Nobody's perfect.
Absolutely.
We're conditioned by American medicine and foundations that want your money to hate ourselves. I mean, we have the war on cancer, the war on heart disease,
right,
the war on all AIDS, all these things. So if you have one of these diseases, then you're thinking, oh my, it's attacking me from inside, and there's something wrong. Well,
yeah.
You just have to learn to live with it. Diabetes is a good example. I mean, type 2. Type 2 diabetes, which is a lifestyle disease that you cause for yourself, you say, well, okay, you know, I have this, but actually maybe it's good, because if I didn't have this disease, maybe I wouldn't take care of myself. But this is motivation for me, and so now I'm going to eat right, I'm going to exercise because I have to. Otherwise, I was too lazy. I like the couch potato thing, watching TV, but, you know, now I'm going to use this as a wake-up call. And it's going to inspire me to become better and stronger and healthier in both my mind and my body.
You know, I've seen that same example via alcoholism. You have the person that drinks to such excess that they are physically getting ready to die. They've done so much damage to their body through alcohol that they have a stop or die situation that they're faced with. And then you have the alcoholic that slowly and quietly drinks just enough to do permanent damage, and they lose 20, 30 years of their life because the disease just didn't scream loudly enough at them to stop at whatever given point. So that's just a similar to the type 2 diabetes. Sometimes that severity forces you to make the decision.
It's a catalyst.
It's the catalyst mm-hmm. that otherwise you would not have made.
That's yeah. true. Those people haven't given up. They've given up. They need an incentive to get well, and they have to find that within or without themselves. Perhaps they have children or grandchildren that they want to
right.
see grow up. Or, I mean, it's never totally desperate. I've worked with consulted the U.S. Army Institute for Surgical Research, which is the Burn and Amputation Center. And when you see 80% burn patients with multiple amputations, not all of them want to go on living, but those who do are very inspirational, and everything else pales in comparison when you see this level of trauma that people have sustained.
Well, I want to thank you for bringing that up, because we had a caller, and they would rather not go on the air, and which is completely understandable, but they are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. And could you speak to that?
Yes, that's something that I deal with all the time. In fact, as we were talking about the American Institute of Stress, we're also creating a combat stress division. And we're on our new website, that's not up yet. The current website is stress.org. But the new website that will be up in about a month or so, we will have a combat stress division. And that'll be chaired by Colonel Kathy Platoni, who is the chief psychologist for the reserves. And she's been in about 27 years, been deployed many times. It's her group that got shot up at Fort Hood by the psychiatrist there.
Right.
And then they deployed him to Afghanistan right after that, which mm-hmm. I believe was a pretty bad mistake, but that's the Army. They don't ask me who they deploy.
Right.
So they deployed those poor people who have already lost five of their comrades in battle before they left the Army base they were on. So that's a big tragedy. But the war, people certainly experience post-traumatic stress in civilian life. About 20% of women and 8% of men develop PTSD, and now we're calling it traumatic stress disorder, where the post is being dropped. And there's basically three phases of that. One is re-experiencing. You have flashbacks, nightmares, get very irritable very quickly. Traumatic stress tends to cause people to avoid people or places that remind them of the trauma initially, mm-hmm. so they become antisocial, they stay in a lot. The quality of their life goes way down, because we need other people in our lives. And finally, there's increased arousal. They jump easily. They're startled, those sort of things. And so all of this needs to be brought back. And the Army is developing better and better reintegration programs for soldiers. You can't just come home from war and say, "Hi, honey, I'm home," and
right.
expect everything to be all right. If you go on vacation for a week or especially two, let's say to another country or even another state or city, you come home and things are a little weird. They're not the same. So imagine going to war for a year and then coming home and trying to adjust to a normal life when you've been living on eggshells.
The word that comes to mind when I think of individuals that have been through something, the word that comes to mind that kind of encapsulates all three aspects is raw. They're just completely and totally emotionally raw.
Yes, they are.
Protective.
They're worn out.
Of their wounds.
Right. The wounds that don't bleed, the invisible wounds we call them, which have actually surpassed physical wounds for the first time in history in the current wars.
So, what are some steps? What are some steps that perhaps she could take towards some healing?
Well, first of all, it's essential that you spend time with your peers. I mean, a soldier comes home from Afghanistan, and if they get an interview with the chief of psychiatry at Harvard, they are not impressed unless they've been there and done that. There's a little story about this. A soldier falls into a hole, and he can't get out, and he screams, "Help, help." And a psychiatrist walks by, looks down, and writes out a prescription, throws it in the hole, and keeps walking. And the guy says, "Well, that's no good." tosses it and yells help. And then a minister comes by or a chaplain and same thing, writes out a prayer, throws in the hole and walks on. And the guy says, help. And then another soldier comes and he looks down. He says, move over. He jumps into the hole. And the first soldier says, oh, now we're both stuck here. The second one says, I know, but I've been here before. Grab my shirt tail and I'll show you the way out.
Oh, absolutely. That's beautiful sentiment. And that is most definitely what it takes to get any individual soldiers or anyone that is facing some life-altering situation that has made them raw to every emotion outside of themselves to lend that hand.
Now, I also believe that in order to really recover, you also need a physiological treatment. You can't just talk. You have to incorporate your body. The nervous system is one from your brain to the bottom of your toes. And so you must do some physiological intervention, and hopefully that's not drugs, because that doesn't work.
Right.
It's a really bad Band-Aid, and the side effects are worse. In fact, I don't even call them side effects. They're all effects.
Right.
So you're just throwing dice, hoping to win. If you win, you can get a good effect and not a lot of adverse effects. Go to Las Vegas, you're on a roll. But otherwise, the chances are you're going to have some bad side effects that are going to hurt your stress.
Dr. Kirsch, can we impose on you for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, we will be right back with the Robin Shea Show.
Did you know? A 2009 survey of 22 U.S. hedge fund managers by London-based Moonraker Fund Management found that 90% of these managers had bought physical gold for personal investment. Isn't it time you considered gold? You don't need to be a market professional to enjoy the benefits. Gold is for people looking to diversify their portfolio. It's a scarce resource with intrinsic value. Talk to your financial advisor, then call. And speak with Goldline to learn more about the types of gold available, including Swiss and French gold coins and proof American coins. Considering gold as part of your diversification strategy is common sense. Call Goldline at 800-711-9042. Ask them about the different payment options and read the important risk information to see if owning gold is right for you. As a thank you for your call, you'll receive the latest issue of the American Advisor newsletter, a $25 value with the Goldline Investor Kit. Call Goldline today at 800-711-9042. 800-711-9042.
Thank you for listening to WS Radio. If you are not listening on your smartphone, we have just made it a lot easier with our new WS Radio 2.0 iPhone, BlackBerry, and Android apps. Just search for WS Radio in the iPhone store, BlackBerry, and Android market. They are all free downloads, so you can listen live or on demand to your favorite show. For more information, log on to wsradio.com/mobile. That is wsradio.com/mobile.
Do you want to be a professional coach? Are you in business trying to make a real difference with people you manage or work with? Have you started a coaching practice that isn't quite getting off the ground? Get the skills you need to be a successful coach today with the Coach's Training Program from Accomplishment Coaching. The Coach's Training Program will show you how to help others focus and be more fulfilled. Whether you want to improve your company's bottom line or create a thriving coaching practice, Accomplishment Coaching can give you the distinctions and practices you need to coach others effectively today. Accomplishment Coaching has spent 6 years developing a cutting-edge coaches training program that will have you ready to coach people professionally in just 12 months, and you don't have to take time off work to do it. To find out more about the Coaches Training Program, just call 1-888-548-6813. That's 1-888-548-6813.
In San Diego alone, of the estimated 8,500 people that are homeless, 25% or approximately 2,100 have mental illness. Mental illness can be successfully treated through supportive housing, integrated mental health services, primary health care, alcohol and drug services, case management, and social services. To help homeless people living with mental illness gain stability and live more productive lives, log on to housingmatterssd.org. That's housingmatterssd.org.